Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 10th of June, recording at 9:21 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights today. Asian stock markets were mostly weak, particularly the China indices, which had been closed yesterday. They were hit hard, with Hang Seng down 4.2%, and the China A-share comp index down about 7.7%. That's put it right back on its low. And Australia was down 2.76%. So still a very nervous time here in stock markets. The European stock markets were weak to begin with, staged partial rallies with a few of them moving into the plus column, but then eased again as Wall Street also eased. Then the States rallied, gave it up with the Dow up a fraction, S&P and NASDAQ both down a little bit on the day. Government bonds were generally weak, although I know gilts were up just a tiny bit, but the U.S. Treasuries are hard hit in here again today on the inflation fears. And where's the good news on the inflation front? Crude oil price is down. It tested its high, interestingly. Well, not quite, but it got up to nearly 138 and then fell to 130.8, so it's pretty volatile there. Price swing of over $7. And it's currently trading at 131.52. That's down $2.83 in after hours trading. Natural gas fell back as well, as did gasoline, which also had a big swing. So that was interesting. The dollar was quite strong in here today. And we have, for instance, the dollar index up over 800 ticks. It's taken it back up to the upper side of its range at 73.66. So you see how nervous conditions are. We saw it move up to the higher side of its range, then start to last week, then get hammered on Friday, and again on Monday, falling right back, and then picking up over the last 2 days. That puts the euro down to 154.65 as I speak, still within a range, but now on the lower side of that range. With the dollar stronger, crude oil down, precious metals were hit fairly hard in here. Gold's down 25 at 867, and the other, well, platinum had a fairly big decline, $66, and silver down 58 cents. In metals, the main plus column item was a big rebound in nickel. Well, I don't want to exaggerate, a rebound in nickel, which rallied to 23,390. That's up 1,395, nearly $1,400 here today. And that, I think, is attributable to short covering because of the, or triggered at any rate, by the Australian power outage, which is likely to affect production. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Stock markets extremely nervous. They've been hit by too many negative factors. There is the weakness of banks in the West, which has certainly continued. The Well, that's not a new story, seeing those bank indices move down to new low grounds. New low ground has spawned further rumors about insurance derivatives, and so it's a nervy, nervy time in here. Then we've had the oil problem and the food price inflation, which has been near the front pages of newspapers on a daily basis. And then we've had central banks talking tough on that point. And that's really quite interesting. You take the Fed, for instance. When Wall Street is down near its lows, and it may have another look at those lows, then the Fed and the Treasury become quite soothing, conciliatory, almost therapeutic in their comments. Conversely, when they get a good rally, or after a good rally, such as we saw from mid-March to mid-May, they become more hawkish, and not least on inflation, and they do that because they can. And that undermines confidence in markets, which then fall back again. So where's this all going to lead? Well, I think we are going to see this choppy, difficult period go on for a while longer, probably carrying into the third quarter of the year. And then there's a possibility we may see a better environment overall. I certainly don't think it's the end of the world, but a lot of people are, of course, fearing that the bearish forces have reasserted themselves, and in some instances, they have. On the plus column, we have a fair amount of attract well, we have some quite attractive valuations in a number of markets, and that's despite the fact that corporate profits estimates are almost certainly too high and will be lowered. We do not have a global recession, and we are unlikely to see a global recession. We have a shallow recession, if that, in the United States, and that's mostly concentrated in the consumer sectors of the economy, whereas the multinationals are doing much better, as we know. But this is not helping stock markets generally. Asia, for instance, investors have lost confidence in Asia temporarily, really due to the inflation problems. And I think that markets such as China and India, while I feel that they're really quite attractive at today's levels, that doesn't mean that they're going to go up in the short term. I would be surprised if they went up in the short term. I think they will need to provide more evidence that a good technical floor is in place, but that doesn't mean that the valuations aren't attractive. So what I'm trying to say here is that I think it's way too late to sell, and it is a time to begin to nibble, particularly if liquidity is an issue for big funds and for private investors who are interested. Then they can wait a little longer and watch, perhaps to see evidence of a new floor or the old floor reaffirmed by these markets. And I think that the long-term outlook again remains particularly attractive. But before we get to the long term, we have to live through these current inflation problems, which will slow growth in all countries, and it's already slowing growth in all countries, and is prompting some tough talk coming from central bankers. So again, as I've said over and over again, but it's a point worth repeating, that you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide. This is a difficult environment in terms of making money because people are nervous and uncertain, so we get very choppy activity generally. But that is usually the background in the late that we see in the late stages of sell-offs, or as markets are in an overall bottoming out and support building process. I am more cautious because of the weakness of banks than I would have been otherwise. I just think that delays the eventual recovery, and it also increases the risk that a number of lows will be tested and perhaps exceeded in some instances. I'll be sitting tight with my long-term investment portfolio, but I'm not tempted to increase it at all either. Now, in terms of crude oil, which is such a big influence, the action I think I've mentioned before that we saw last Thursday and Friday, particularly Friday's surge, there's a good possibility that that was climactic. In other words, when you get a steep upward trend, and we certainly saw that with crude oil, if that steep upward trend gets one of the biggest upside moves seen in many years, if not ever, and I think it was the biggest upside move numerically, not in percentage terms, probably, but certainly numerically, biggest upside move that crude oil had seen, that's a form of acceleration. It's an ending characteristic. And interestingly, with today's retest of the high and then a weak close, crude oil has not maintained its last break on the upside. That was the break above the $135, dollar level. So that's a small inconsistency with what we had seen previously. Now, the important point is, which you'll already be thinking, is that, wait a minute, both the short and the medium term upward trends are still intact, and that is perfectly true. And if we had a supply scare tomorrow, I don't doubt that crude oil could push up to new high ground. But I am saying that this, without that type of catalyst, this is probably a peak area. But we need some sort of clear indication in terms of downside activity, and crude would have to come down and close below the $120 level for more than a day or so. That's the level I've so often cited over the last few weeks. And what about the precious metals? Well, they're also range bound, currently on the lower side of the range. if you think if one thinks that the dollar is going to go on rallying quite sharply, then they'll certainly come lower. And if oil cuts underneath the $120 level, that well, that would not be a tailwind for gold. It would be debatable as to how much of a headwind it might be. My own view is that gold is too cheap relative to crude oil, and I produce that ratio chart and the gold oil ratio, which you can also see in the library at any time. I posted that chart on a very long-term basis last week, showing that gold was trading at right around its historic lows against crude oil, at least for several decades. And I feel basically that on these setbacks that brings precious metals back down into a buying range. I actually had one third of my gold position stopped out, and then I picked it up again at a somewhat a few dollars lower in here. And as I've said before, I will trade out on rallies. I should have done a little bit more of that on Monday, but I certainly lightened positions late last week. But so I think I see this as a trading environment overall. Those who hold the bullion funds, I think, can sit tight and be quite relaxed about it. Gold still looks like an extremely good long-term investment to me. But to pretty well end where I began, this is a difficult time to make money in here. If you feel tempted to sit on your hands and do nothing and just watch and wait, that's probably a very good strategy. That avoids pitfalls. Last thing to mention, though, before I sign off, is that we had another useful gain in corn here today. That crop news is very bad. I've jammed up my stops here so that I will get taken out on the first sign of a reaction. And my own feeling on the corn is that it's obviously moving up on the basis of reassessments of the crop yields, and the USDA came out today and said that they felt that the corn yield might be down 10% from what they had said last month. Well, that's one heck of a swing, and of course that's mostly been discounted by the price rise, but perhaps that we've already seen, although not fully, given corn's 16-cent increase in here today. Most of the estimates felt that the USDA would not lower its forecast quite that much. But thereafter, as say, once the weather begins to improve, I would certainly think that corn and soybeans would commence reactions, and then traders will be watching to see what happens in July and August, when the weather in those growing states can be very, very hot. So if we get hot, dry weather, that would present a further threat as far as yields were concerned, because of the shallow roots that develop when corn is planted during cool, and soybeans when they're planted during cool, wet weather conditions. The roots tend to remain shallow, growing out horizontally rather than the vertical deep roots that you get more often during normal conditions. And I think that's pretty much it. So I'll just say all the very best to all of you.